Today I want us to look at a passage of scripture from 1 Peter. I'm going to read chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. The scripture says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." I'm going to particularly drill down on verse 10. "Each of you use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards." Faithful stewards. The word steward is a broad term, meaning caretaker. In English, someone who cares for money might be called a fiduciary. Someone who oversees a project, a manager, or someone who cares for people, a guardian. But it's the same word. It's the same idea. It's being faithful with what has been given to you. Being faithful is accepting responsibility for the powers and privileges you have received. So the question this morning is, what gift have you received? With what gift have you been entrusted? There's a meme that says, "With great power comes great responsibility." This was the reminder that Peter Parker, also known as Spider-Man, received from his Uncle Ben. Words that echoed in his head and made it unconscionable for him to do nothing when he considered the fact that he had the power to do something to protect life. And you also have that responsibility. In the fall of 1943, that was a few years ago, World War II was raging across Europe and in the Pacific. British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, one of the greatest orators in English history, traveled secretly to the United States on a diplomatic mission. He had been scheduled to receive an honorary degree from Harvard University on September 6th. He was expected to address an assembly of some 1,300 dignitaries, including politicians, corporate moguls, distinguished faculty, and even a few students. The speech would be broadcast live on the BBC and across America and Britain. Now, on the night before he was to attend Harvard, he discreetly boarded a late-night train from Washington to Boston, and he worked on his speech. He was wide awake at 2:45 in the morning, going over his speech line by line, scrutinizing what would he give on such an occasion, this pivotal moment in history, really, at the high tide of war. He knew that his message would be crucial in shoring up U.S. resolve for participation in the liberation of Europe from the Nazis. Words matter. They certainly do. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21 reminds us. And so he got to Harvard, and the assembly commenced, and the president of Harvard announced the degree. "Winston Leonard Spencer Churchill, Doctor of Laws, an historian who has written a glorious page in British history, a statesman and warrior whose tenacity and courage turned back the tide of tyranny in freedom's darkest hour," unquote. And then Churchill rose to give his 40-minute address. In the course of that oration, he spoke these words, quote, "The price of greatness is responsibility. If the people of the United States had continued in a mediocre station, struggling with the wilderness, absorbed in their own affairs, and a factor of no consequence in the movement of the world, they might have remained forgotten and undisturbed beyond their protecting oceans, but one cannot rise to be in many ways the leading community in the civilized world without being involved in its problems without being convulsed by its agonies and inspired by its causes. It has been proved in the past, as it has been. It will be indisputable in the future. The people of the United States cannot escape world responsibility. Churchill concluded his speech to thunderous applause. He had hit a home run. Observers said that he seemed absolutely giddy with the result. Students of history believe that it was at that very moment that Churchill knew he had won the war. Though he knew the price would be high in lives and bloodshed to come. In the next few days, Churchill attended a summit in Quebec City to discuss the plans to invade Normandy, which would occur some 9 months later. Churchill was a powerful, powerful communicator. This was his gift. Like Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address or Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech, his words impacted history in ways that we cannot even begin to fathom. Yet the sentiments Churchill expressed were not new, certainly not. We see them in the ancient parable of the sword of Damocles, codified in the medieval principle of noblesse oblige, which declared that power simply cannot be enjoyed for its privileges, but necessarily makes its possessors morally responsible both for what they do and what they fail to do with it. And so it's true in real life, even if it's true in the Marvel comic universe with Spider-Man and Star-Lord of Guardians of the Galaxy, who happens to be my favorite. In spite of your unspectacular, selfish, or even checkered past, choices you make at crucial moments can not only change your life, they can change the lives of others, and sometimes a lot of people. You have a responsibility because you are privileged. And it's not just your words that matter. It's everything you do to reflect the heart of a servant. It is people that are important. You are important. I want you to look around at the people next to you, behind you, in front of you. They are important. They are your most precious stewardship. Relationships matter. Your most important stewardships are the people in your life, your family, your church, your community. Look around. I want you to notice that. Your presence here is important. Words are not important in and of themselves. How do I know that? Well, because the Apostle Paul said this, quote, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal." What lasts forever? Relationships, love. We are our greatest stewardship. So we return to our text. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. God's grace comes in various or variegated forms. Let's consider the gifts you have received. They are abundant. You've been given life. According to Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Consider that for a moment. Because you were created by God, that means you were designed by God. And because you were designed by God, that means you have purpose. And if in fact you have purpose, then you have a destiny. You are important. We've been given this earth, our home, with responsibility to exercise dominion, to take care of the creatures. Genesis 2:15 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it." Now, those of us who have put our trust in Jesus Christ, we have received incredible gifts. The gift of hope, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. you who are trusting Christ, you are a child of God. You're part of a forever family. Your sins are forgiven. God has lavished his grace upon you, according to Ephesians 1. Now, you've also been given other wonderful gifts like food and shelter and clothing and coffee. We had the best Dominican coffee. Have you had Dominican coffee? We bought some coffee, and not cigars, coffee, and it was wonderful. And these gifts are not too shabby. And you have a family. And even if you've been alienated from your earthly family, you have a family here, an Eden Church family. Do you understand how privileged you are? Just to be here, with great privilege comes great responsibility. Now let's take it a little bit further. You've been given talents and gifts and resources by which God has equipped you to serve others through your careers, for example. Some of you have careers whereby you serve others. I want you to choose careers that add value to the world, of course, like my wife's career. She works for Williams-Sonoma, and they have given us the gift of the pizza oven. You must have a pizza oven. If you don't have one, talk to Joyce and I after the service. We will invite you over to our home and demonstrate to you our pizza oven. It's a gift, but it's also a trust whereby God has given us something to serve others. Within the family of God, those of us who are trusting Christ for salvation have a unique responsibility to serve and to build up one another. In Romans 12, Paul reminds us to use our gifts to serve the body of Christ. If your gift is proclaiming God's word, then do it in accordance with the confidence you have in the truthfulness of the message, in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then what? Encourage. Very good. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is leading, do so diligently. If it is showing mercy, do it cheerfully. Let me remind you, you are powerful. You have been given a gift. You are. I'm not making this up. You are powerful. Look, in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In Romans 8:11, Paul says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You are powerful. If you're a Christ follower, you've been endowed with power to point people to Jesus through your life, through your service, through your words, by allowing God to manifest his power through you. Does that scare you a little bit? Maybe it should. Maybe it should, the thought that you really are powerful. You're powerful in Christ. You can make a difference. Or maybe you'd just prefer to kind of slide under the radar, you know, retire, maybe get a boat. No. With great power comes responsibility. I was attending a men's retreat at Warren Miller's ski resort near Yellowstone, and in attendance was a very wealthy businessman, a very powerful man, who had just become a follower of Jesus. He was grappling with the impact his choices had made before he became a Christian. In the course of the conversation, he remarked, quote, my son is 14 years old now. I feel like I've missed the opportunity to be the kind of father he needed to become, the man I really wanted him to be, unquote. I said this to him. I said, you haven't missed it yet. You can't change the past, but you can be the man your son needs today. And in so doing, your son will have the opportunity to see the difference that Jesus has made in your life. And that way, God will get the glory for the change that he has made. And your son will know that Jesus really can make a difference because he's seen both the before and after. You see, the opportunity really wasn't missed, was it? It was just beginning. And that's the way it is for you right now. Your opportunity begins today to be the person God has called you to be the powerful person, the one with whom God has endowed power, to be a witness for him, to be a world changer. God's power is in display through our lives. And I said that to him, or something like that. I don't remember the exact words, but he said he'd never thought about it that way, but it did give him hope. No matter what your history, you are valuable and powerful in the body of Christ. So do not approach this fellowship just for what you can get. Don't merely ask, what is the church doing for me? Certainly not. Ask, what is God enabling me to do to build up the body of Christ, to build up this church, to build up this community? We are encouraged and in fact commanded to encourage one another and to build up one another. Also, to be grateful for those who do. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for Pastor Dan, a powerful, just encouraging leader and a humble man. And he has been an incredible encouragement to me. We're grateful. Paul charged the Thessalonians, acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Our church has a stewardship, and our pastor is our stewardship. We are responsible for one another. So you might ask, well, what if they annoy me? Anybody here annoy you? Maybe I'm annoying you right now. I don't know. What if I don't get along with certain people? Well, let me tell you something. It is especially true that we are stewards of one another in our relationships if we're struggling to get along. Tension or conflict in relationships can be one of the most crucial moments when the reconciling power of God can burst through and present a powerful witness to the world. This is why we are admonished in the scriptures to guard the unity of the church. Why? Because we represent the kingdom of God here on earth. We're going to spend eternity together, by the way. God has called us to a ministry of reconciling the nations to one another and together as one body to Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5. And how can we reconcile the nations to God if we can't be reconciled to one another? We got to get along with each other, even the ones who annoy us. The great power of our witness is unleashed when we manifest the reconciling work of God who has brought male and female, slave and free, single and married, all ethnicities, all economic classes, all into one body. So make every effort to maintain the unity of the faith. People become alienated from one another for the pettiest of reasons, I've noticed. Have you noticed that? I read this the other week, a Dear Abby letter. Dear Abby, a longtime friend and I have always exchanged birthday cards. For the last 4 or 5 years, my friend has sent me the same card, one which obviously is taken from a box of cards. The message is generic and impersonal. It's obvious that she doesn't care enough to give my birthday any thought, and frankly, it's tacky. Am I being petty to let this bother me as much as it does? Pretty mad in Kentucky. Dear Pretty Mad, yes. Actually, Abby didn't say that, I did. Paul said, make every effort to keep the unity of the faith through the bond of peace. Why? Because there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope. When you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. We will spend eternity together. And God has been extraordinarily gracious to you. Has he not? Has he not? He's been gracious to you. Has he not? So cut your brother some slack. Now, I know we have to have boundaries. Some of us struggle in long-term relationships because we don't know how to set boundaries. Here's some good news from the scripture. You only have to serve, quote, with the strength that God provides. You only have to speak with the words that God provides. God is not a slave driver. Did you know that? In fact, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God gave us a Sabbath. He wants us to rest. It's our pride and our tendency to be control freaks that drives us to relational exhaustion. It's not God's expectations. So boundaries are good. Sometimes you need to take a break, go upstate, chill. Sometimes you just need to be present. Sometimes the most powerful gift you can give to someone is simply your presence. Just being there when you don't have anything else to give. Just be there. Your presence means everything. How do I know this? Because perhaps the Lord's most precious promise is this: I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You don't have to set boundaries by ghosting or being cruel. When I was in college, I'm going to be a little transparent here. Joyce, I don't know if I've told you this story. When I was in college, I asked this particular girl on a date. This was many years ago. She looked at me and she said something like this, quote, thank you very much. She looked at me and she said this, quote, thank you very much, but no thank you. I don't want to go out with you. Please don't ask me again. If I change my mind, I'll let you know, unquote. That'll preach, man. I didn't ask her again, but you know what? She was never cruel to me. A few years ago, believe it or not, she sent me a friend request on Facebook. I guess she figured I was safe after being married for 25 years. Boundaries are okay, but you don't have to be cruel and you don't have to ghost people. Sometimes you just have to be clear. You're not Superman. Let God give you the strength with which to serve. Receive it from him. You're only a steward of that which you have received. We will spend eternity together, and just because you annoy me doesn't mean you're not my responsibility. And by the way, I didn't mean to point at you. I was just pointing out there somewhere, you know. It was all for... We're going to spend eternity together, and God has been extraordinarily gracious to us. So use your gift to serve as a faithful steward. The health of the church is your responsibility. Serve others. Guard the fellowship. Guard the relationships with which God has entrusted you, even the relationships you have with those with whom you struggle. If you need some help with boundaries, don't be afraid to ask. Your participation or absence from this body of believers affects all of us. If you are here today, you are having an impact. Your presence is felt. If you are absent tomorrow, your absence will be felt. You are important. Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Why did he say that? It's because in giving that we are truly transformed. Do you want to be changed by your church? Do you want to be changed by the family of God? Then give. Then give. It's giving that transforms us more than receiving. Is it worth sacrificing your privileges for the sake of serving others? Well, what do you think? Is it worth sacrificing privileges for the sake of serving others? Who's our model? What do we know about Jesus? Paul said, Jesus, though being in the form of God, enjoying all the privileges of heaven, he did not consider the privileges of divinity something to be grasped, but emptied himself and took on the very nature of a servant. He did that for you. He did that for you. And Paul exhorts us, therefore, in Philippians 2, have the same mind in you. So, what privileges have you received? You are a steward of what you have received. You are a caretaker. With great privilege comes great responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. I want you to bow your heads right now. I want you to ask God the question, God, what have you given me? With what have you entrusted me? Resources, talents, words, the capacity to serve. If you're a follower of Jesus today, you are gifted and you are powerful. If you're investigating Christianity and what it's all about and what it means to be a follower of Jesus, I want to speak to you for just a moment. You know, in the body of Christ, we receive great gifts, and these gifts are received freely simply by trusting in Christ and receiving his promises and trusting him enough to follow him. That's what we do here. We're leading people to follow Jesus as part of Eden Church. And so if you've never trusted Jesus, if you've never decided to become a Christ follower, I want to especially ask you today to think about, is today the day that you're going to begin to follow Jesus? Is today the day you're going to receive the gift of eternal life and trust Jesus to forgive you of your sin and to grant you all the privileges that are a part of being in the family of God? So with our heads bowed today, I'm going to ask you, if you're deciding today to follow Jesus for the very first time, I'd like you to raise your hand in just a moment. Think about it for a moment. Is God saying to you, today's the day, today is the day I begin to follow Jesus? If that's your prayer today, if that's your desire, and especially if you'd like to speak with someone to encourage you in that decision, I want you to raise your hand right now. Just slip it up. Just slip it up. If you're asking for prayer, thank you. I see that. I see you. I see you. If you're asking for prayer today and you want God to help you to understand your place, your role in the family of God, then slip your hand up and let us pray for you. Yes, we want to pray for you. You're important. Your presence is important. I see you. I see you too. Thank you for these souls who are making decisions that are life-changing today. And I pray that we as a church might have opportunities to encourage them. And if you're making that decision today, I encourage you to follow up, to see someone at the prayer table in the back left-hand side as you leave today. Father, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, and thank you for this church and this trust, Lord. I am so privileged to have this opportunity and to be a part of this family. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.